I don't know if it gets any better than that or not. Woo! Yeah, Glory wants to bring out the Baby Costal in you, you know. I don't hurt to shout a little while. Phil Hoskins, who was a great pastor and evangelist, he says it do you a little good to have a spell once in a while when the Spirit of God touches you. Welcome to Pastor Appreciation Day. And we're here today to honor Brother Damon and Sister Juana, who is at least half his ministry. And you know, when God calls a man into the pastorship, he calls his wife also, because they became one flesh. That's what the Word of God says. And I remember people telling me about another denomination, and I don't think the pastor's wife came to church a whole lot, and they kept talking to her about it. She said, well, God called him, he didn't call me. No, that don't work. It takes two. The two becomes one. And we're here today to honor our pastor, and it is right and proper to do so. And I'm going to read a couple of scriptures where the Bible talks about that. Because they handle the word of life. And God has called them, the call of the pastors, to call them to be the underling shepherd. He has watch over you. He has watch over the flock of God, so to speak. And he watches for your soul. God touches him. He gives him the message. And we're going to list a few things in a minute. I was going to talk a little bit for my message about the pastorship. But a cut 2 or 3 weeks ago, Damon took that away. And so we're going to go another way, which God led me. But the importance of the office of pastor and the responsibility that they hold upon their shoulders. And it's very great. Do you realize the greatest thing in the world in the decision? We're going to talk about choice today. The greatest decision in the world is whether you accept Christ or not. You realize we are eternal beings. We will eternally be in heaven or eternally be in a place called hell that was never meant for us, nor was it built for us. And that people by their own choice decide to choose death instead of life. And why do we do such things? Why does mankind do such things? And God called me, why did I struggle so much with it? To call me when he called me to be saved. And I don't know how it was with you. I fought it. It wasn't an easy choice. I struggled hard against it. Tried to do it on my own a couple of times. I realized I couldn't do it on my own. But we're here today and we're going to honor our pastor and his wife because of the work that they do. And he's a genuine, called, underling shepherd of God. He loves the church. He loves God. I've known him now about a little over 20 years, I guess. And we kind of trace our roots back. We go back kind of to the same people. We know a lot of the same people and other pastors and connections in the past and back in the 70s when we first got started. I got started back then. He did too. And so we have the kind of same love. We have the love for the people. That's another thing God gives the pastor. He gives them a love for you. He gives you a love for the church of God. And he loves you individually, and he cares for you. So let's have a word of prayer, and we're going to read a couple of scriptures. We're going to talk a little bit of what the pastors do, just 2 or 3 items maybe. Father, we do thank you, Lord, this day. We thank you, Father, for who you are. We thank you. You're the God of grace. You're the God that gave yourself that we might have life. You took on the flesh of humanity, Father, and died and suffered on the cross. And because you were God, you paid for our sins on the cross, Lord. And you rose again the third day that we might have life and have it more abundantly. We ask your blessing today upon the pastor and his wife, Father, and continuing the greatness of their ministry. Father, we ask your blessing upon the congregation. Father, we ask your blessing and anointing upon me that I can speak your word. I freely confess I can do nothing without you. We just ask your move and your touch and your love because we love you, Lord Jesus, because you loved us first. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. The pastor, I thought I'd list a few things that they do, and so I'm just going to read them out before we get into the message. And certainly they prepare weekly sermons. Now let me say something about weekly sermons. It's hard work. It takes a lot of study. And the one thing you want to do is make sure God touches you and gives you the message, because listen, when God gives a message to a pastor or a preacher to speak to you, he's giving it to you for your edification. He's giving it to you for your instruction. And it's not his word, it's God's word, and that's the reason it stomps all over your toes. But a real pastor and a real preacher will tell you what God says, because it's good, and Brother Damon does that. It's what God gives you, it's what you preach. And it's not your word, it's His word, and you don't change the word. And He preaches. And I just, that's kind of a part of what I just said, but He preaches, and He preaches the inerrant, inspired word of God. He interprets Scripture, because He does. He's a workman that does not need to be ashamed. He studies the word of God to rightly divide the word of God. And that's what God does in time of study. And you got to have that study time and the prayer time. And individually, you do too. If you want a relationship, you have a relationship with God, and we'll get into that too. You have a relationship as a son or a child of God when you get saved. But the fellowship of God is determined upon you. Just like you don't seek God, God seeks you before you're saved. But after you get saved, you seek God. And if you got saved, you'll seek God. It'll just be something in you. You want to read the Word of God. I didn't want to read the Word of God before I got saved. I didn't like to see people on TV, except for Billy Graham. Why, I don't know. I think everybody wanted to see Billy Graham. I think he was something of a phenomenon, I guess, when he came on TV. But after I got saved, I wanted to get into the Word of God. The Word of God gives life, gives healing, it gives guidance. It gives strength. It defends. It protects. It's the Word of God. And listen, I neglect it too. I don't do it as often as I should. And I'm trying to get myself, you know, before it's too late, and I'm out of here and don't have time to read it anymore, I'll be in the very presence of the Word of God, the Logos of God, Jesus. But look, as we grow older and we shouldn't wait, we should try to get as close. Listen. As close to God as you can get. And I'll tell you something else God will do. God will help you sometimes. If you decide you don't want to and wait, He kind of gives you a little pat. It might be a sickness. It might be an accident. It might be something that happened that God, and I'll never remember, and I was going through some pain and stuff, and Charles Stanley, I was watching him on TV, he said, whatever it takes for you to bend your knee to God, thank God for it. Because when you get there, He'll take it off. He'll relieve it. So he prepares weekly sermons. He does the preaching and interpretation of scriptures, provide care and counseling to church members, assist them in crisis situations. He officiates at certain services such as confirmations, baptisms, weddings, funerals. He assists in church financial matters. He has the overseeing and management of all areas of the congressional staff, holding staff meetings to coordinate ministries. Have we got three yet? Ensuring church facilities are functioning. He has this job in Ephesians 4, 12 through 13 says, he does all these things, and it's his responsibility for the perfecting of the saints. You know who the saints are? You are. I am. If you got saved, you're a saint. It comes from the word sanctified. You were set apart by God's Spirit, set aside for His purpose, for His reason. And it's not where, you know, maybe you do some great deed or you're martyred or something. Every born-again child of God is a saint. We're not perfect, but we don't live in sin either. We don't have a lifestyle of sin. You get in a lifestyle of sin, God, we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, He'll give you a warning. And if you don't get out, He'll chastise you. And if you don't get out, I believe He'll take you out of here. Saved as if by fire. There's three parts to that. And sometimes we're so hard-headed, we might not. Oh, and by the way, if He takes you out of that way, no rewards. You're going to be saved. Your salvation is by grace. It's not by works. That was Israel's problem. Denying the grace of Christ and the works of Christ, going about to establish their own righteousness. It's not in us, folks. And when you say that, people say, oh, you're saying it's all right to sin. No, I just said it won't all right to sin. I told you what God will do to His children. Those who don't believe in Him are going to end up in a lake of fire, not because God wants to, because He has no choice, because He's a God of justice. And He's going to do away with sin. It's already taken care of on the cross. And one day, and we're talking about studying the book of Revelations, and we just studied a little bit about the Feast of Tabernacles, and that's what I want today to be, a little bit of the Feast of Tabernacles, a time of rejoicing. It's a time of lifting up, repentance, the day of repentance, the Rosh Hashanah, and those 40 days of the spring feast, which calls for people to repentance. It's, Look, repentance is past. Yom Kippur is taken care of with Jesus Christ. No more having to go by earthly high priest to the earthly tabernacle to spread that blood on the Ark of the Covenant. Hey, that's gone. Our God, our Christ, the Lamb of God, said John the Baptist, sacrifice for us that we have life and we have it more abundantly. Is there sickness and problems? Yeah, but God gives us grace and faith and joy to go through it. Amen. I've been there. You have too. Still am. Who is likened to our God? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. Got to do a little work in there, folks. Everybody does. For the edifying of the body of Christ. See if I get this paper apart. Listen, until we all come into unity of faith and at the knowledge of the Son of God into a perfect man. That means a mature man. It doesn't mean a perfect. Like I say, we're not perfect. We won't be perfect until this flesh is dropped off or changed when Christ comes back to get us at the rapture. Till we come into unity of the faith, at the knowledge of the Son of God, into a perfect or a mature man or a mature woman, and to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. That's what he does. That's his watch care. That's the pastor's watch care of our souls. And he has that responsibility. And you have to bend your knee before Christ every day to do that responsibility, and Brother Damon does. We are now, okay, that's a little bit on the pastorship. Is that all right? That's two or three things that he does. And that's a lot. I saw a little bit of it last week talking about the building. We're going to look at choice, a little bit of what the Bible says choice is. And, you know, there's always some controversy over that, or whether we have choice or not. Choice or not, we got choice. God is sovereign, and we're going to go into that in a little bit too, but we have choice. Deuteronomy 30, 19 through 20. It says, I call heaven and earth, excuse my voice, I got a little bit of frog this morning. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your children, or your seed or your children, may live. This is what God gave to the children of Israel after they had received the laws. And God had already, a few chapters before that, God had already told them what he was going to do if they were faithful to him, as faithful as a nation. And you know that holds true for any nation that calls God their God. And we were once a nation like that. I fear we're fast slipping from that time. God help us. And he told Israel, if you do this, I will have respect unto you. Now, what does that mean? Well, because the Word of God says, I am not a respecter of persons. That means he doesn't say, well, I love you, but I hate you just because of who you are. He doesn't have respect. He don't care of your race. He don't care about where you come from, what your nationality is, where you're rich. He loves you equally. God loves the wicked. God loves the unsaved. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And so it's God's will that all be saved, not just a handful of some he's chosen. And if you want to be chosen, it's whosoever will. You can be a part of the chosen. I don't know if you saw Adrian Rogers this morning. I was sitting there going, amen, brother. He said what he was preaching on. Whosoever will. But choose life. He said, choose life. He said, if you'll be obedient to me, I'll have respect into you. He says, no foreign power can touch you. He says, a handful of you erase 100 or 1,000 of your enemies off. He says, I'll bless your fields. I'll bless the weather. He says, by the time harvest comes around, he says, you still have food from the last harvest. He said, nobody will touch you. I'll bless you. There'll be peace in the streets. You won't have to worry about having the police force because nobody's going to be in criminal activity. Man, that was a great blessing. It was that way today. I can't remember a time when we did sleep with our doors and our windows open. And we even left the, I don't know why we left the truck. I think one time we left the glasses on the truck down. How did we know what was going to rain? Well, the weather report's not always that accurate. You know, it could have rained in that window. But we did that too. We left windows down in the truck. We don't know. We locked the doors. I got 2 or 3 locks on the doors, and pistol in the back, and shotgun in the side, and baseball bat side of the bed. You know, I never understood about the pistol part. It's not right to shoot somebody, but it's all right to take a baseball bat and beat their brains out. So I guess it's the way you defend yourself. I just love the less logic. But that's the blessing. He says, now, if you don't, do this. He says your enemies will overtake you. He says, I'll withhold the rain. You'll have no harvest. He says, I'll send another nation that doesn't know me either, but I'll send another nation. He'll take you out of your place. And that's what they did. And here's what, this is the last thing that God is telling them. He said, if you do these things, just choose life. Don't choose death. Choose life and bless, listen, blessings for you and your seed, for your children. And listen, and the same thing went for their children. If their children would do that, it would be for the grandchildren, your grandchildren, and their seed. And God still has that blessing today. For it doesn't mean you're not going to have troubles. I said, we have troubles. There's troubles and tribulations because man sinned. And you say, well, why did God allow this? God didn't allow any of it. He did in a sense, and he's sovereign, but because of sin, it brought it on. Now, I think I've used this example before, but I really like it. I don't know if it was Katie Couric or one of those things asked Ann Graham's Lot after there had been a shooting and kids were killed in school. Why did God allow this? He said, well, why did y'all allow it? You took God out of schools. You don't want God in your schools. You don't want prayer in your schools. But then you want to blame God when something happens. I said, man, boy, they got some good answers to those people up there. I like that. I don't know what I would have said in that case. But God says, choose life that you might live. Listen to the second part. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God. Do you love God? If you say, do you love him? You love him. There are times you get mad, and I've gotten mad and asked him why and this, and that, but I love him. In fact, when I got saved, it was the strongest love I've ever felt. I've never before since then. I love my wife. I'll die for my wife. But I've never felt love like I felt that night I got saved. Whew. In fact, one of the definitions of God is love. We don't know what love is without God. That thou mayest love the Lord thy God and thou mayest cleave unto him. Cleave unto him. Embrace him. Hold him. Love him. Be in his presence. You get power to live and go against sin by staying close to God. There's things that we need to do. And if you're like me, sometimes you hear it with your head, but you don't hear it with your heart. And sometimes it takes a hard knock on the head to get the heart to jump into operation. Listen to what he says, that thou mayest cling to him, for he is your life. And length of days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob, to give them. And that was his last. Well, not his last. He always sent prophets whenever sent him, but that was his last during that episode, giving of the law, explaining what he was going to do. And he gave that little last talk. Choose life. Choose life. And first, we want to just talk about, and we're going to get into about choosing and choosing life. We'll get into Adam in a little bit and his choice of death. Poor old Adam. One of those preachers on TV said the first thing he's going to do when he gets into heaven is find Adam and kick him on the knee. Well, he would have done the same thing. We're Adam's seed, and we'd have done the same thing. I mean, poor old Adam messed up, and I know the regrets he must have had with the death of his murder of his first son by his other son, and he lived over 900 years, and I'm sure all the filthy things, because that generation just got worse and worse before the flood. And I can just imagine the heartbreak that he had, and he killed and really carried his whole life, but God had a plan for him, and for Eve, and for us. Well, first of all, I realize God is a sovereign God. I mean, he has no counselors. He knows ahead. Look, he already knows what's going to happen in the future beyond eternity. He knew what was going to happen when he created man. He knew he'd have to die for him. But listen, he had to give man. Why did he give man freedom of choice? Because you can't love. You can't have a relationship. You can't have fellowship. You can't have friendship without love. It's a thing that you give and a thing that's earned. And sometimes it's not even earned in God's case. So it's agape type love. He just loves because of who you are. And he is love. You can't be a robot and command somebody to love you. In fact, if you try to make somebody love you, it kind of goes the other way. You know, you kind of push them away when you do that. So he had to create man. if you wanted for fellowship and to give him life, you had to have freedom of choice. Had to have. Couldn't be any other way. Listen, everybody always trying to point back, this is God's fault. Nothing is God's fault. He is sinless. We don't think, his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. He takes things that look awful and terrible, he takes them, he turns them into good. And when it gets all, when it's all been said and done, and one of the things he's going to show Satan, and another thing is that we'll all see what he's going to show Satan, that everything you did, Satan, to destroy, to kill, steal, and destroy, and that's what it did. If you see somebody or something that kills, steals, and destroys, he's a Satan. Because that's what he does. And if you're not, and this, I'm kind of throwing parts of the message in ahead of time, but if you're not a son of God, you're a son of Satan. Now, I didn't say that. I didn't just say it. But I didn't say that. That's what God said. He told the Sadducees and Pharisees. He said, you think because you're Abraham's seed, you're the son of God? He said, let me tell you who your father is. You're your father to the devil. And his will you will do. And you're going to kill me. And they did. Actually, it was God killing him. You know what the Word of God says. They were instruments, and yeah, they were guilty because they were part of it. It was God sacrificing Jesus. That was his lamb. God, listen, we didn't have anything to do with that except being used tools. We're all guilty. Our sins, all of our sins put Christ on the cross. That was one of the other ones, and this was Franklin Graham that told one of the NBC this. They said, well, and what they were trying to do is get him to say something against Israel, the Jewish people. He said, was it the Jews that put Christ and killed him on the cross? He said, no. He said, it was your sins and my sins to put Christ on the cross. I think God gave him that answer. I really do. What do you say to that? Amen? Amen. Let me read a little bit about the awesomeness, the sovereignty of God. Psalms 135:6 says, whatsoever the Lord pleased that he did in heaven and in earth, in earth and in the sea and all the places, whatsoever the Lord pleased to do, what he wanted to do in heaven and in earth, in the seas and all the deep places. 2 Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him and through him. And listen, and he is before all things. Listen, and by him all things consist. You know why we live? Because God lives. And God says, you live. You know, there would be nothing without God. There would be no consistency. He said, God holds, listen, Jesus holds the atoms together. They should be blowing apart. They got different, well, I'm not going to go into chemistry because I failed chemistry. So we won't talk about that. I don't think I ever failed in my life. I failed one chemistry course, star class ever failed. That's not meant for me. And we told us before, in God, in creating man, gave him limited free choice for a relationship to exist. There must be love. In God's sovereignty, he gave Adam and Eve the freedom of choice to keep his commandments or not. He gave them one. Listen, we got a lot of commandments and things and that we need to pay attention to, and because all of them lead to sin sometimes if you're not careful, and whether it's even just anger and unforgiveness. But God gave them one law, you might as well say, one commandment. What? Do not eat. Of all the trees that are out here, and you can imagine, listen, before sin, I bet food was even better than it is now. And I'd probably weigh 300 pounds because I love to eat. And I'm trying to cut back, I really am. Think the paradise that they walked in, a perfect world. Perfect environment. You know, it did not, listen, before the flood, there was no rain. That meant there was no tornadoes, no lightning, no strong wind, no cloudiness. Oh, no, I don't think no sickness. There was sickness later after sin. But the initial first, even till the flood, the environment was perfect. So I guess it didn't have global warming in those days. Which, by the way, is the chicken little, the sky's falling. No man-made. I don't want to get in that. We're getting to politics, and I don't want to tell you. They're just using that to raise your prices and everything so that the economy be destroyed, so the communists can take over. I said that kind of fast, so maybe y'all didn't get that. So I won't say that part. But they had that perfect environment. And God gave them one commandment. Don't eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't eat that fruit. And you know the story. Satan gets hold of a serpent. Now, the serpent had to let him do that. All creation at that time was sinless, too. Do you know that creation fell when man fell? That's why we have so much trouble. That's why we have so much global warming, as I was saying. Do you know it says that even creation waits for the redemptions of the Son of God? Jesus said there's birth pains in creation. That's what earthquakes are and storms. Listen, we're going to have a new environment. We're going to have a new heaven and a new earth. We're going to have a time where I can't wait. I had another birthday this past month, and I got a year older, and I never thought I'd be this old. But listen, as that time gets closer, I sorrow in leaving my family if I have to do, if I die before the rapture takes place. But look, I'm not crying and weeping that life is over. Life won't begin until I'm out of here. You older folks, I think you know what I'm talking about. I know as a young folk, I didn't think about it a whole lot. When you get older, you think about it. And it's wonderful to get in this type of age that you know that God has redeemed you. Amen. And it's in his hands. If it wasn't anything else but that, and there's more than that, it'd be wonderful to be a Christian just wait until the end. But God gives us more than that. He gives us life and life more abundantly. Look, we're going to look at things. I don't want to keep it too long. We got food afterwards, and we're going to have to take time to celebrate Pastor Appreciation Day. Look at some of the things that Adam lost when he sinned. Well, the first thing Adam lost was what? Eternal life. What did the Bible say? What did the Word of God say? He chose what? Death. All right. He chose death. We lost eternal life. He lost the relationship. He was really no longer a son of God. He didn't realize at the time he did it, he passed over to another father. He came under the influence of sin and the father of sin, who was Satan. He lost his fellowship. Listen, if you don't have a relationship, you don't have fellowship. You can't have fellowship without a relationship. I was my father's son. We had a relationship because of that, and we had fellowship. We had some real hard fellowship sometimes, but we had some fellowship. And he gave me that other type of fellowship so that I would become a decent person and become a good person for my own goodness and almost safety. But they could really give you some good fellowship sometimes. But I knew he loved me. I never doubted my father and mother didn't love me. I got punished. But, you know, I never thought they hated me. I always knew they loved me. It don't hurt to spank your kids. Don't abuse them. I'm telling you, I don't know if people do it, if it's against the law. I don't know. I know when I raised our kids, I told them, and I did. I said, listen, I'll spank you in public. You better not disobey me. And that was one thing Daddy put in me. My children will obey me when they're young or pay a penalty. And it's because I loved them. And I never spanked them. They didn't come back later and hug my neck. And you can ask them. I don't care. But I didn't abuse them. And nobody else better abuse them, if I knew about it. But you lose fellowship. We now become really enemies of God. That's what happened. You become enemies of God. And, you know, some of the folks think, well, I still like God, and I'm a pretty good person, and I don't do bad things. You're not. You're against him. If you do the things he says not to do, you're part of the problem. You're not part of the solution. Amen? We are all, if we're not saved and living according to what he says to live to. They lost peace with God. Now, the peace with God and peace of God, I feel everybody getting a little bit tired. We're going to tie this thing in pretty soon. But we lost peace with God. You can't have peace with somebody that you're at war with. And until we get saved, we're at war with God and everything that he stands for and everything that he does. We're his enemies. And we can fool ourselves in good works. Good works will do nothing but send you to hell. It says all works of you are as filthy rags before God. You know why? Because it doesn't have his righteousness. The righteousness that gets us to heaven is the righteousness of Christ that's in us by the Holy Spirit that we received when we got saved. Praise God for that righteousness. Otherwise, Christ wouldn't have had to die. He had to die and rise again for us to live. And because he overcome, we'll overcome. And I come past that saying, oh, grave, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? I like that. Okay, folks, right quick. What do we gain when we get saved? Well, first of all, we get our eternal life back. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, if we could really get a hold of that, we would shout and jump around in our house all day long thinking about that. Can you imagine? Eternal life with Christ. We got our relationship back. Now God is our Father. In fact, it says he is our Abba Father. You know what that means? Daddy. Daddy. Beggar said Brandy could always sit in my lap and say, Daddy, I want this, I want that, and hug my neck and say she can get anything she wanted. And she did. One way or another, if I could afford it, she got it. And Corey, too. He restores our fellowship. Now, one thing about fellowship, we can kind of dampen that fellowship a little bit when we stay away from God and stay away from prayer and kind of neglect him. And we all do that, I think, at sometimes in our Christian life. But the fellowship with God. And when you get in that fellowship and you're in God's presence, you know sin has no hold on me because you're in the presence of God. And that's what happens. You're in the presence and you love God and you feel God and there's nothing that can touch you. And you're not worried about sin and you're not worried about sickness. You're not worried about death and problems because you're in his presence, the one who takes care of it. And sometimes we have spiritual healing and sometimes there's physical healing. By his stripes we are healed. I know a guy who's a pastor now. They had a little girl, and I can't remember how old, but she was past the age of being able to walk, and she could not walk. And they were really concerned about this. And couldn't find anything wrong, but she wouldn't walk. The day, that morning he got saved, that night while they were sitting in the house, she walked to him. She walked to him. So sometimes God gives healing. One of the reasons Jesus went about healing children, one of the things that's the gift that God gives you is healing. And I know God heals now. He don't heal every time, all the time because of his reason, his purpose, but I'm telling you, God still heals. He's the healing God. He's a loving God. Guys, almost got one more, I think. How about a happy life? John 10:10 says, I have come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. Jeremiah 29, we'll end it with this. This is in the Old Testament. God says, for I know the thought I have toward you. The Lord thoughts, he said, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not evil. To give you an expected end or to give you a future and a hope. That's what he does. He gives us hope. I don't care if the sky is falling, the ground is shaking, if the moon is bleeding and the sun is darkened. God said we're going to walk with him in light. And we have his strength now. And it's not next year or next time, we have it now. Listen, grow close, cleave to, search for God's presence in your life. And let him work your problems out and give them to him because he can handle our burden and we can't. If the musicians come, and we'll sing. We'll get through singing. If you have any type of issue, if you want to get saved, you've got a problem, you need to seek the Lord about something, the altar is open. When we get through, we're going to ask Brother Damon and Sister Wanda to come here and stand. And